this day we gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now. Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the last word, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. There your mercy and your grace was free. There your pardon multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given Jesus everything. Now I gladly know him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. There your mercy and your grace was free. There your pardon multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. There your mercy and your grace was free. there your pardon multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gold that God dispensed of Calvary. There your mercy and your grace was free. There your pardon multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. There your mercy and your grace was free. There your pardon multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. You would be mindful of us. What do you see? It's worth looking our way. We are free in ways that we never should be. Sweet relief from the grip of these chains. Like hinges straining from the weight, my heart no longer can keep from singing. All that is within me cries, for you alone be glorified. God with us. My heart sings a brand new song. The debt is paid, these chains are gone. Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, you know our hearts don't deserve your glory. Still you show a love we cannot afford. Like hinges straining from the weight, my heart no longer can keep from singing. All that is within me cries, for you alone be glorified. Emmanuel, God with us. My heart sings a brand new song. The debt is paid, these chains are gone. Emmanuel, God with us. Such a tiny offering compared to Calvary. Nevertheless, we lay it at your feet. Such a tiny offering compared to Calvary. Nevertheless, we lay it at your feet. All that
My heart sings a brand new song. The debt is paid, these chains are gone. Emmanuel, God with us.
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin.
Then sings my soul, my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
I am thankful for so many things. It's November. It's the month that we really put an emphasis on being thankful. And I have started the process in my calendar on my Apple phone. Every day I'm putting I'm thankful for, and then I'm putting that something that is in my heart that day. And so Becky and I are doing that together, and we decided that we would wait until the end of the month. And at the end of the month, we're going to compare our list with one another, the things that God put in our hearts to be grateful for. And one of the things I'm grateful for today is that our God is a God who gives us pleasant surprises along the way in life. Anybody had a pleasant surprise recently? You want to thank Him for it. I mean, God just reaches in and He does something, and you're like, oh, Lord, thank You for that. So this past week, we went to Tallahassee. We were there Tuesday, Wednesday, came home on Thursday, visited with our Tallahassee kids and celebrated birthdays. And so there was a fall festival going on at the church that Tommy and Rachel attend with Jack, and we walked over. It's right there at their neighborhood. We walked over, and they had a great fall festival going on. And there was a place where you could feed and pet a llama, and then they had some rabbits and some goats. Michael and Paige, thank you for bringing the animals. And so they had their animals there, and we were petting the animals. Well, there was a photo op. You could sit down in front of the llamas and have your photo made. And so I sat there with Macy and Jack, and I got a pleasant surprise. How many of y'all know that llamas hum? Did you know that? I didn't know that. I sat down, and I hear this young lady in my ear going, and I'm like, who in the world? And so Becky snaps a picture just as I'm doing like this, and I think she put it on Facebook, but that was a pleasant, I didn't know llamas hum. I could have known, because I went to Google after that happened. I said, tell me about llamas humming, and I cannot tell you how many videos are there of llamas humming. What a great God that gave llamas the capability of humming, and not just humming, a pleasant tune. Now, I don't know if they can hum Amazing Grace, but it is Amazing Grace that they can hum at all, amen? So anyway, that was a pleasant surprise. I'm pretty easy to get along with. I am thankful for a God who loves us. The Bible says, I love Him because He first loved me. And please understand that our loving Him is not so much us earning our way as the love of God brings out love in us. It taps something in us that we probably didn't even realize was there before He came and shone His light on our souls. I am so thankful for a God who chose us before the creation of the world, which means salvation is by grace, y'all. If He chose us before we were even born, we certainly didn't have an opportunity to do anything for Him before He loved us. Amen? He loves us. And I am thankful for that love. Ephesians 1, 3 and 4 puts it this way. All praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blended us with who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. And that means that before I ever had the opportunity to even know that there is a right and a wrong, a good and an evil, before any of that, God chose me to receive His love and His grace in such a way that I might be found faultless in His sight. That's amazing. Before I knew Him, before I loved Him, before we were born, He loved us. It's an incredible thing to come to understand in our lives. We live in the part of the world where there is a, if you will, a Protestant work ethic, that we are to be hardworking people, that we might receive our bounty. But the Word of God helps us to realize that there is a bounty that has been offered from God that has nothing to do with our efforts. That He has poured out His grace just because He has chosen us to be His very own. And in the Bible, I see Jesus with one sinner after another. You read through the Gospels and you see Jesus with people who are lost. You see Him with people who are religious but don't quite see the truth, like a Nicodemus, who's a Pharisee, but he's got questions about the kingdom of God, about what it means to be born again. And then you see people like the woman at the well, who is so shamed by her failure, by her sin, that she goes when nobody else is at the well to get her water for the day, because she doesn't want to interact with the people who are shaming her, who are looking down on her because of her failed marriages. You see Jesus with people like the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. You see Jesus with people like Matthew, who was a despised tax collector. You see Jesus in Luke 19 call a chief tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus, a short little guy, calls him to come down out of the tree where he has perched himself that he might gain a view of Jesus as he's passing through. Know this, how amazing that they've never had a face-to-face encounter, but Jesus comes up to that sycamore tree and calls Zacchaeus by name. Well, Zacchaeus, you know, in that moment is saying, wait a minute, he knows my name? And we've never been introduced formally. We've never encountered one another. Yeah, I'm going to invite him to come to my house. He knows who I am. And if he knows who I am, he knows what I'm about. And he knows that I've made my living by taking advantage of people under Roman's rule, under Rome's rule, that I might be able to provide a lucrative lifestyle for myself. And yet he wants to go home with me. And so we look at the scripture and we see Jesus interacting with people, just people like us. People like us who have good days and bad days, who do the right thing one time and did the wrong thing that time. Just people. And I see Jesus with them and I see him loving them. I see him redeeming them. I see him blessing them. I see him kneel down and wash their feet. I see him at the Passover supper institute a brand new supper that we call the Lord's Supper, and calls them to the realization that my body is going to be given and my blood is going to be shed that you might have forgiveness of sin. I see Jesus with people, and then I see him with me, and I see him with you, and I am thankful. I'm thankful that God first loved us. I'm thankful that God loved us while we were yet sinners. I thank God that He had us on His mind and on His heart when He went to the cross. I thank God for saving us. And then I see Jesus with His disciples, loving on them, teaching them, challenging them, blessing them, giving them opportunity after opportunity to find life beyond this worldly existence. It's an amazing thing when people are brought to the realization that we're not just physical beings, we're spiritual beings. That it means something very special when the Bible says that we are created in His image. We have a capacity, a spiritual capacity that our pets don't have. You get that, right? We love our pets. But we have a capacity that far exceeds the rest of creation. God has called us to Himself, not only in time, but for all of eternity. And so the Bible says, like in 2 Corinthians 5:1, it says, Paul says, I want you to understand this, that when we leave this earthly tabernacle, when we leave this earthly tent, speaking of our physical bodies, that we will go and inhabit an eternal home that has been built by God's own hands. He's talking about our heavenly dwelling. Vita sings that old Dottie Rambo song, just build my mansion next door to Jesus. There's a mansion prepared for us in the great beyond. And when I see Jesus with his disciples teaching them the spiritual realities of the kingdom, it blesses me. When I read my Bible and I see that heavenly, eternal dimension of our lives, it blesses me. I am thankful this Thanksgiving that God has given us not only the intellectual but the spiritual capacity to see the kingdom. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he helps us to understand what we could not understand on our own, because the scripture says the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit comes into our being and helps us to see what we would be blind to otherwise. I'm thankful for that. That's incredible stuff, to be able to entertain the eternal kingdom of God. And then I see Jesus with his accusers. I see him with the people who despised him. And did he face off with them? Yes, he did. But did he do that to condemn them? No, he did that they might be saved. He did that they might be awakened. He did not have a grudge against the Pharisees. And when you go to the book of Matthew and you read the seven woes to the Pharisees, it was not to shame them. It was to convict them and to help them to understand that they had missed the light of his glory and what God was wanting them to know and to experience in their own lives. And so I see Jesus with them. Quietly and resolutely, he went through his association with them all along the way during those years of ministry. I see him go through the trial. And for those who've been to Israel and have been on the Via Dolorosa, remember when we came to the Court of Scourging? Remember that chapel there, the crown of thorns there fixed on the lintel of that cathedral? Remember what we felt when we were there in that place where Jesus was beaten? The Bible says that he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And Jesus went through it all like a sheep being led to a slaughter. Why? For us. I see him with his accusers, the scourging, the mocking, the cross. But then I see him there hanging on that cross. And in his dying moment, he looks out over the ones who have nailed him to that cross, who are mocking him in that moment, and he says, "Forgive them. Father, they don't know what they're doing." Oh, how he loves you and me. Regardless of where we line up today, you may be here today and you consider yourself a disciple of Christ. You have decided to follow him. You've lined up with Granger this morning and you've said, "I'm not ashamed. I am a Christ follower. I love him. I'm devoted to him." Or you may be here asking questions. Is he really the Son of God? Or you may be here today with a little bit of anger in your heart toward God because of something that's happened that is beyond explanation. How could a loving God allow that to happen? But let me tell you this morning, wherever we line up, from those who are completely devoted all the way to those who are not interested whatsoever, he loves us all just the same. And I am thankful for a God like that. That even when I'm angry with him, he loves me. Even when I decide I'm done, he loves me. When I get it right, he loves me. When I get it completely wrong, he loves me. To understand today that there's nothing I could do to cause him to love me more, but there's nothing I could do to cause him to love me less. He loves me. He loves you. Psalm 100 encourages us to come before his presence with thanksgiving, to enter his courts with praise. Let's let November be that, okay? And if you haven't read Psalm 100 in a while, read it today. And say, "Lord, allow me to enter your courts with thanksgiving this month of November. Lord, help me not to just offer general praise, but help me to look at my life and to look at your handprints on my life. And Lord, help me to count my many blessings." to see what you've done in my life, to understand why there's a reason for hope even when life becomes difficult. I see Jesus resurrected, meeting with his disciples who have been defeated by his death, but now are reborn because of his resurrection. I see him encouraging them. I see him bestowing his peace upon them. I see him promising them things that are glorious, to say the least. I see him empowering them. Those who, after his crucifixion, cowered in private places, went to the city squares declaring his lordship. Love is given. Am I receiving that love? Love is given. Am I offering that love? Because if I only see receiving love as the end of the matter, then I've missed a big part of the truth. Because God is not only wanting to bless us, he's wanting to bless others through us. The verse of the day in YouVersion is that a city on a hill cannot be hidden. A statement that was made in Matthew 5 in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And just before that statement, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And so you see, the truth is, yes, I am to receive his love, but then also I am to offer his love, to give his love to others, to give his love in the same fashion that he offered his love. It was one thing to call a fisherman to be his follower. It was another thing to call a tax collector to be his follower. But he called them both. Because their worth was found not in what they did for a living. Their worth was found in who loved them. Love is given. Am I resting in that love? Love is given. Am I witnessing to that love? Am I taking opportunity to name Jesus as he uses my life in a small way to be a blessing to someone else's life? As I mentioned earlier, thousands of dollars has gone through the Dollar Club. I remember the day that God touched my heart and said, "I want you to do this. I want you to do this as pastor. I want you to go to First Church Family, and I want you to encourage them to just give a dollar or two in the offering plate every month, establish a fund, and just help, just all kinds of people. Not just church people, but just help people." I was watching a video about a church that had done this, and there was a young mother in their congregation who had fell on hard times and had no way to get the kids to school or get to work, and they just had this fund, and they went and they bought her a used car, just bought her a car, and said, "We want you to be able to get back and forth to work. We want you to be able to do what you need to do and not be so dependent on others and be held captive by your circumstances." And I remember how that touched my heart as I watched that. And I thought, that's amazing. We, First Church, can do those kinds of things. And we have. We've helped a lot of people in significant ways in their moment of crisis. And this morning, we take the Dollar Club offering as we're leaving church, and it's going to Samaritan's Purse, and it's going to bless those who need a blessing from those who would be used of the Lord in their lives. And you know what? Here's the thing. there are going to be people who are recipients of this offering that we send that goes along with all the other offerings that are sent in to be a part of this. And we don't know these. We don't know any of the people that are going to receive benefit because of this. Why would we do such a thing? Because God loved us. And because He's blessed us. And we have the opportunity to not only receive love, but to become givers of that love and sharing in tangible ways to make a difference in the lives of those who are at a place right now this morning that they never dreamed they would be in. I know there's a lot of political ideas that are wrapped around this war that's taking place between Hamas and Israel. And I know the tension that is there because of the innocent Palestinians that are losing their lives, losing their homes, losing their loved ones because of what's going on. And I know there are political notions that would say, I don't want to be a part of this, but let's strip away all the political veneer that is a part of such a situation, and let's just see people. And let's realize that there are people who need tangible help in this moment of crisis. And God has given us the means to be a part of helping them, even though we've never seen them and may never see them until eternity. So here's the thing. As I begin this month of November, I'm thankful for a love that God has brought into the midst of His creation and has made visible through His Son Jesus that changes lives. Love. To value something. To hold something dear. To cherish something. To give of yourself in expressive ways to demonstrate the value that is held for that something or that someone. Love. I am thankful for love. And I am thankful that before I knew anything about it, about love, God loved me. Jesus loves you. Your life will be better as you open yourself to Him and His love. Your life will be better. Your eternity will be secured if you will let Him love you, if you will receive His love for you. It'll be better for your family if you'll let Him love you. It'll be better for this church if you let Him love you. It'll be better for Sumter if you let Him love you. It'll be better for this world if you let Him love you. He loves you. Let Him love you. And maybe as you let Him love you, you'll even find His love in a llama humming in your ear. I'm serious. It's crazy. And that llama had a bow on its head. He chose you before the creation of the world. He chose you in love to be His very own child. Father, this morning, I want to let You love me a little bit more than I ever have before. I've known about this for a while, this thing about You choosing us before the creation of the world. I remember the first time, Lord, that that verse really connected with me. I remember as a college student reading that and hearing a message on it, and I was like, oh, wow, this is crazy. That a God who created me long before He ever spoke the world into creation knew me and chose me to be in relationship with Him. That's amazing. And now I've spent a lifetime watching You love me in just all kinds of ways. And it's caused me to want to be more loving in all my relationships. So thank You, Lord, for the difference that love has made in my life. I pray this morning that as we receive this offering for Israel and what's happening over there, that You would make it more than it is, and that people would be blessed because we know Jesus. And it all goes back to that, Lord. Jesus. We are different because of Jesus. We are better because of Jesus. We're saved because of Jesus. We're generous because of Jesus. We care because of Jesus. It's amazing. It's amazing what's happened as we've just become recipients of Your love. So love us today. We want You to. We let You into our lives. Love us today. And help us to live in that love in our relationships with one another. Thank You, Lord. Amen. So when you go out today, just drop something in or go online. You can go to the church app. Let's give a heartfelt offering to those who are in need because of what's happening in Israel. Bless you.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for You. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for You. just before you. And I'm lost without you. You are the air I breathe. You are the air I breathe. You are the air.